Good Saturday morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for August 29, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is AI created and independently fact-checked. Here's the calm, practical rundown as of this morning. President Trump says the United States has entered an agreement with Venezuela that could give the U.S. access to 65 billion barrels of Venezuelan oil reserves. The president described it as the largest oil deal in history. Details remain limited. The administration has not publicly released a signed agreement, a timetable, financing terms, or commitments from American oil companies. That matters because Venezuela's oil infrastructure has suffered years of underinvestment and political uncertainty, and any large-scale production recovery would take time and substantial capital. An estimate of reserves is not the same as immediate production. Producing and exporting crude requires operating fields, working equipment, transport capacity, and commercial arrangements. Those are the parts of the proposal that have not been made public. The announcement comes as the administration has drawn down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve during the war with Iran and seeks more sources of supply. For now, this is an announced framework rather than a completed transfer of oil assets or a near-term change at the gas pump. The practical questions are whether the arrangement can be legally structured, whether companies will participate, and how Venezuela's government will carry it out. In election law, the Trump administration is appealing a federal judge's new order blocking a postal service rule for mail ballots ahead of November's midterms. The rule would require states to use federally approved ballot envelope designs and unique barcodes, and to submit information on intended mail ballot recipients through a postal service portal. A federal judge in Massachusetts temporarily stopped the rule, concluding states faced immediate harm because ballots and election systems would have to be redesigned on a very short timetable. The temporary order preserves the current system while the court weighs the claims. It does not determine whether the Postal Service can ever impose these standards or whether Congress has authorized them. The administration calls the requirements common-sense election security measures. The states and voting rights groups argue that the federal government is intruding on state control of election administration and imposing requirements that cannot be met in time. The Supreme Court had previously lifted a different injunction on procedural grounds. It has not ruled on whether the underlying policy is lawful. The appeal means the legal fight will continue while election officials prepare to mail ballots in some states within days. A major technology and government contracting dispute also produced a clear court ruling this week. U.S. District Judge Rita Lynn ruled that the Pentagon acted illegally when it designated artificial intelligence company Anthropic a supply chain risk and imposed broad restrictions on doing business with it. The dispute began after Anthropic objected to allowing its Claude system to be used without limits for domestic surveillance or fully autonomous weapons. The Pentagon said the company's position created national security concerns. Anthropic argued that the designation was retaliation for protected speech and exceeded the department's authority. Supply chain risk designations can carry substantial consequences because they affect the ability of agencies and contractors to obtain or use a company's products. That is why the court's decision has implications beyond the immediate disagreement. Judge Lynn found the government's measures unlawful and blocked their enforcement. The decision does not settle every dispute between Anthropic and the federal government. A related case in Washington remains pending. But it is an important ruling for the fast-growing field of military AI, where the government's need for advanced systems is colliding with companies' stated limits on how their tools may be used. Parents and young users are likely to see changes on Facebook and Instagram after Meta reached a landmark settlement with a broad coalition of state attorneys general. Meta agreed to pay up to roughly $18 billion, including a multi-state settlement worth up to $17.1 billion and a separate Texas resolution. The litigation alleged that Meta designed features on Facebook and Instagram to keep young people engaged while understating risks to their mental health. Meta did not admit wrongdoing. Under the agreement, Meta says it will add stronger protections for users under 18. The changes include expanded parental tools, age assurance measures, more limits on notifications and certain social comparison features, and safeguards aimed at reducing exposure to harmful content. States say the money can support youth online safety and mental health efforts. Settlement terms matter because changes to age checks, parental settings, and recommendations must be carried into the company's products and then monitored. The agreement does not end the broader debate over the effects of social media on young people. The settlement is subject to the details and enforcement processes laid out by the participating states. Its larger significance is that it sets a new national benchmark for platform design and teen protections, while similar litigation involving other social media companies continues. There was a notably different kind of technology milestone in Houston Friday. President Trump awarded the Congressional Space Medal of Honor to the four astronauts of Artemis II, Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Koch, and Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen. Their April mission was the first crewed flight around the moon in more than half a century. NASA says the 10-day flight launched April 1st and splashed down safely in the Pacific on April 10th. The crew flew farther from Earth than any people before them while testing the Orion spacecraft for later lunar missions. At Johnson Space Center, the president also announced an executive order establishing a U.S. Space Academy to be led by NASA. Its location and full structure have not yet been announced. The awards themselves recognize a mission that returned people beyond low Earth orbit and moved the Artemis program from testing toward the next stage of lunar exploration. The Justice Department has also opened a new front in its immigration and education policy campaign. It filed federal complaints against Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon, and Washington over state laws that allow some students without legal immigration status to receive in-state tuition and financial assistance. The department argues that federal law bars states from giving post-secondary benefits based on residence to undocumented students unless U.S. citizens receive the same benefit regardless of which state they live in. The department is asking courts to stop the four states from enforcing the disputed provisions. The states are expected to defend their laws, which generally tie eligibility to such factors as graduating from an in-state high school or meeting residence requirements. The filings do not immediately change tuition bills. They begin court cases that will test the limits of federal immigration law and state authority over public higher education. And the National Transportation Safety Board says construction activity at the White House contributed to radio problems surrounding an August 4th near miss involving Marine One and a passenger jet near Reagan National Airport. Federal investigators said the presidential helicopter crew did not establish contact with air traffic control before departing from the ellipse. Controllers then cleared an airline flight to take off while Marine One was lifting off. The NTSB said radio calls warning of the helicopter's departure were not heard, in part because of communication difficulties linked to the altered White House operating environment. The investigation is preliminary, and it does not assign final blame. But it again highlights the pressure on the air traffic system around Washington, where presidential movements require especially tight coordination, and even short communication failures can sharply reduce safety margins. Turning overseas, the war with Iran remains the most consequential international development for American households and global commerce. 6 months into the conflict, the Strait of Hormuz remains central to the effort to restore reliable commercial shipping. Iranian attacks on vessels and the threat of mines had brought much of the traffic through the waterway to a halt. The administration says Iran and Oman are discussing a framework for safer passage, while the United States continues an economic blockade and has imposed new restrictions on the United Arab Emirates branches of Egypt's bank Mister, accusing the bank of helping Iran's leadership move money. The situation is fluid. Any improvement in safe passage could affect energy supplies and shipping costs far beyond the region. But there is no announced comprehensive peace agreement, and the broader war has not been resolved. Shipping through Hormuz affects more than oil producers. Delays or diversions can raise insurance, freight, and delivery costs, which is why negotiations over passage draw attention well beyond the countries directly involved. The key point for listeners is that shipping through one of the world's most important energy choke points remains a live economic and security risk. In Ukraine, Russian forces launched another day of drone attacks on Kyiv and the surrounding region Friday. Ukrainian officials said the strikes damaged apartment buildings, warehouses, and logistics sites after a long air raid the previous day disrupted normal life across the capital. Officials reported at least one person killed outside Kyiv. Ukraine says Russia has also been targeting energy and civilian infrastructure as the country heads toward another winter under threat of power shortages. At the same time, the Kremlin confirmed that CIA Director John Ratcliffe recently met Russian intelligence officials in Moscow. The Kremlin said he did not meet President Vladimir Putin. Reuters reported that Ukraine's President, Volodymyr Zelensky, said the United States had briefed Kyiv on meetings in Moscow without disclosing details. The visit was a rare direct intelligence contact amid the continuing war. It did not produce a public breakthrough while the attacks on Ukraine continued. For Kyiv residents, the immediate issue is the damage and disruption from each new attack. For diplomats, the intelligence contact is notable precisely because it occurred alongside, rather than instead of, continued fighting. Now to money. Because markets are closed for the weekend, these are final closing figures from Friday's completed U.S. trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 9.45 points, essentially flat, to close at 53,559.99. The S&P 500 lost 19.23 points, or 0.2%, finishing at 7,711.76. The Nasdaq Composite declined 138.93 points, or 0.5%, to 26,402.42. The bigger market story was Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh's first major Jackson Hole address. Warsh said inflation remains too high and that the Federal Reserve must be confident inflation is returning to its 2% objective clearly and at sufficient speed. Otherwise, he said, the central bank has work to do. He did not announce a rate increase or promise one at the next meeting. But the message reinforced that rate hikes remain possible if price pressures do not improve. Markets also reacted in the bond market, where investors increased bets that monetary policy may have to stay tighter. Warsh pointed to an economy that has remained resilient. In his prepared remarks, he said business investment in equipment and intangibles had risen about 9% over 4 quarters, with more than half of this year's capital expenditure growth likely tied to AI buildout. At the same time, the University of Michigan's final August consumer sentiment reading was 51.7, down from 55.2 in July. Its release said households remained concerned that inflation would stay elevated. So the message from Jackson Hole is not that policy has changed. It is that the inflation fight remains active, and upcoming jobs and price reports will matter greatly for the next Fed decision. In sports, college football begins under a cloud of legal uncertainty over athlete eligibility. A Texas judge issued a temporary restraining order putting the Southeastern Conference's new rule on hold. The SEC had sought to bar players who had been drafted by or appeared on professional league rosters from returning to college competition. The order is part of a larger dispute over the NCAA's 5-year eligibility rule. More than 40 players are involved in litigation seeking the chance to play another college season. The judge directed the NCAA to open the transfer portal for a week, potentially giving affected athletes a path to join a new program. The Big Ten and SEC had moved to draw boundaries after a string of lawsuits challenged long-standing assumptions about when a college career ends. The ruling is temporary, not a final decision. But with the season beginning, coaches, players, and schools are confronting rules that may change again through court orders rather than through the normal off-season process. At the Tour Championship in Atlanta, Ryan Gerard and Victor Hovland share the 36-hole lead at 10 under par after 2 rounds at East Lake. Gerard shot a 5-under 65 Friday. Hovland posted a 66. World number one Scottie Scheffler is 2 shots back after a 67 alongside Cameron Young, who surged with a 62. Colin Morikawa and Chris Goddard are 1 back of the leaders. It is a crowded leaderboard going into the weekend at the PGA Tour's season-ending event. The tournament carries a $40 million purse, with $10 million to the winner. That makes every shot meaningful. But the more immediate story is that the favorites have not separated from a field that includes several players chasing the biggest win of their season. A quick scoreboard from Friday and the most notable recent results. The Yankees edged the Red Sox 1-0 in New York behind 5 scoreless innings from Boston and 3 hits by the Yankees. The Dodgers beat the Tigers 2-1 in Detroit, with Tanner Scott recording his 20th save. In NASCAR's O'Reilly Auto Parts Series at Daytona, Georgia, owner-driver Ryan Sieg earned his first career victory in his 424th start. He won the Winn-Dixie 250 in overtime by 149 thousandths of a second over Austin Hill. On the college football opening night, North Dakota defeated Long Island University 42-21. And in Atlanta, Gerard and Hovland reached the Tour Championship weekend, tied at 10 under. Finally, a moment of remembrance in entertainment and American culture. Dolly Parton's music surged after the country music icon's death this week at age 80 from cancer. According to early industry data reported by the Associated Press, U.S. audio and video streams of her catalog rose more than 2,400% on the day of her death compared with Monday, from about 1.2 million to 30.5 million. Her books also saw renewed interest. The numbers only measure part of her reach. Parton built a career as a singer, songwriter, actor, businesswoman, and philanthropist. Songs including Jolene, I Will Always Love You, and 9 to 5 crossed genre and generational lines. Her Imagination Library, which provides free books to children, became one of her most durable contributions beyond music. Tributes are continuing in Nashville and far beyond it. The extraordinary response reflects not only a catalog of familiar songs, but a public life that connected commercial success with generosity and a distinctly American sense of reinvention. That is the briefing for this Saturday. A proposed U.S.-Venezuela oil arrangement, election and technology cases moving through the courts, continuing conflict in Iran and Ukraine, a watchful Federal Reserve, and a weekend of sports. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. Thank you for listening, and take good care. Check out the article about AIN on AIbusiness.vc. Find the link in today's episode description.